Thank you, Steve. And thank you, Mary, for getting through a cast without swearing. That was refreshing. Still left, it's Wendy Snyder.
Been a little frazzled this morning, thank you.
Well, you're excited.
I don't blame you.
You're excited. This is one of the highest honors in broadcasting. You're going to be in the WGN Walk of Fame.
It's unbelievable. That's exciting. So weird. I just can't even believe
it. You must have known this was coming. Somebody told you before today that because the list was announced today, but somebody must have come to you in the last few days and told you, right?
Yes, Todd and Stephanie told me.
What was your reaction?
I don't know. I think I looked like a freak. I just kind of looked at him cross-eyed going, huh? I almost fell off my chair.
I'm so excited for you, Mary. I think it's great.
Oh, well-deserved.
Join in your club, Steve. The club is crazy.
I'm surprised Steve Bertrand is sharing
Let's make it clear. It's not my club. I'm visiting. But
yeah, me too. I'm going to be dusting is what I'm going to be doing.
How long have you been on the air here, Mary?
Almost 21 years.
Good golly, Miss Mary.
Yeah, work with
That's
quite
great.
A few morning people. I think about five or six, maybe seven.
And look who's still standing.
That says
look
a
out,
lot,
Steve
though.
Cochran.
Right. Yeah. The Widowmaker's in town.
Hey.
Boy, but you're going to be on Mary's list. I don't know, not the good list.
If Mary has a list, I'd be proud to be on it. I think it's whatever list she has is good. But this is it's a smaller class this year, and I'm confused. Steve and I were having this discussion this morning, Mary. This station is moving. We're going to a new building in a couple of months. So what will happen with the Walk of Fame? Do we know?
Well, they did tell me that they have to yank them out. Everybody's going to get pulled out, I believe, and we're going to go somewhere, but they don't know where yet.
It'll be they have the traveling wall for Vietnam,
Yes.
It's going to be the traveling Walk of Fame.
Oh.
Maybe.
Well, I think a wall would be cool somewhere. I don't know. They're not sure.
Somewhere where?
I don't know.
This is bad timing.
You know, I put it at the back of my garage by my vegetable garden.
Like a stepping stone?
Well, they did mention maybe the transmitter, but I don't know about that in Elk Grove Village.
Well, this is bad.
Who's going to go there? It'll be like a cemetery.
You guys, I think we should all band together and do a wacky DJ stunt
and
not leave the studio when they're trying to kick us out. Well, we're not leaving Tribune Tower. If we all do it, and just lock ourselves in. I'll chain myself to the wall.
I've got dinner plans that night.
Was there an Adam Sandler movie where he did that, where he was a radio DJ who did that? I think there was, right?
Really?
Where they did Brendan Fraser and Chris Farley and Adam Sandler, where they did some radio stunt and they refused to leave their studio. I'm almost positive.
It's happened everywhere.
Yeah.
Every wacky DJ has done it. We're not really wacky.
Mm-mm.
But I could be for that. Come on, if we all do it.
Right, for the event.
I'm going to chain myself to Steve Bertrand's name on the Walk of Fame.
Oh.
You can't take it out.
Right. I just wonder, does the new building have a facility where we can start putting people in the sidewalk? I don't know if they do.
Like a memorial garden? No.
Yeah.
I don't know, but we're going to be pretty up high. What, 17th, 18th floor we're going to be on? So, I don't know. A wall might work better, don't you think?
Yes.
Well, it has to be on street level so people can see it.
That too.
But up on what floor are we on there, did you say?
17.
17. Maybe like a lightning rod or something? Something that's high up?
Thank God you're not in charge of any of the plans.
I'm not in the planning committee.
All I want is water at the new place, and we still haven't gotten an answer on that.
No, they're still working.
Well, you're right. It is called the Walk of Fame, so we have to be able to walk.
It should be on the sidewalk.
On them, yeah.
Right.
That's true.
The key to this working is people need to walk on us.
Well, you know, Steve Cochran's good friends with Rahm Emanuel. Maybe we can have like one of those center islands. You know, when you cross Michigan Avenue, maybe we can put them in there.
Oh, that's not a bad idea.
How about it?
That's a great idea.
Mary, bring that up to Steve Cochran to tell Rahm Emanuel.
Well, you guys will probably be in it one day, so you better think hard about where you want to be.
I don't think so.
Steve, you can't say, I don't think so.
That's our job.
We can.
I'm so sorry.
There's two of us.
You know what, Mary? I've found that it doesn't really matter where it is. It's all about the day of getting in and seeing your friends
and the recognition.
I haven't looked at my plaque maybe ever.
You're a liar.
It's true.
Well,
I mean,
if you don't go out there,
right.
You can see it from the studio, can't you?
Steve's, you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you can.
Dave Ennett buffs his every morning.
Yeah.
But what about his?
All right.
Plaque?
That's why we're not going to be in it.
Wendy.
What
day?
Because of that. That's why we're not in it.
Oh, here he comes.
Wait, Ennett, is that true?
What?
Do you buff yours every day?
No, not that I know of.
He would know.
If someone does not send this to Nick DiGilio, you are dropping the ball. You can add that, too.
All right. Let us take a quick break.
It's a proud moment here at WGN.
Yeah.
It all started with the Bishop Ford.
It always does, doesn't it? A quick break. Some news coming up in 15 minutes. We'll talk about a big tech conference that's going on here in town today.
Yeah, I have
that's
plenty of questions up. Involved
yeah, me
in
too.
That.
All right. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Felt like I was, I don't know.
In a disco in the 1970s.
Like I was looking for Denny Terrio to walk out.
All of a sudden, smoke is coming out of the floor. There's different colored tiles flashing on the floor. It's beautiful in here.
It's really hot in here.
It is. It's a little warm. It's fine.
It's springtime, Bill.
Yeah.
This is the time where all the office buildings don't know if they should have the heat or the air conditioning. Mm-hmm. So have a great day, everyone. Mm-hmm. Start stripping now.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting. Did you by any chance happen to see Stephen Colbert's show last night?
I got to be honest with you, I never watch it.
You don't watch Stephen Colbert ever?
I don't watch the late night shows ever. What I do is if somebody posts something on Twitter or if the show it themselves do it, I watch the clip.
Yeah.
That's the only...
But you don't want to see the whole show, you just want to see the highlights.
I have no time for it, Bill.
Yeah, yeah. Last night on Stephen Colbert, he's got Sean Penn on. And Sean Penn's sense of humor is a little interesting.
Always has been.
Yeah. There's times where I go, I don't know if Sean Penn has a sense of humor, and then he'll say something outrageously funny, and then I'll go, oh, he does. Sean Penn is a very funny guy.
Was it intentional, though, that he's trying to be funny?
I never know. I can't figure it out. Remember a couple years ago at the Academy Awards, Chris Rock is hosting, and he did some joke about Jude Law being in a bunch of movies? Because that year, Jude Law was in a bunch of movies, so he did a joke about it. So then when Sean Penn came up, an hour and 45 minutes later, he goes, to answer our host's question, Jude Law is a very talented actor. He was very upset that Jude Law's name was brought up in a joke.
Stewed about it for quite some time. Yeah.
Oh, if I get a chance, I'm going to fix this ship, you know? And then he went up and he did. All right, so last night, Sean Penn is on with Stephen Colbert. And he's kind of out of it. He seems a little, even by Sean Penn's own standards, he seems like he's had better days. He's almost always disheveled now. His hair's not brushed, and he looks like, you know, the room was dark when he chose an outfit. You know, he comes in, all of his clothes are ill-fitting and stuff like that. And Colbert kind of calls him out on it, and he goes, well, it's because you're experiencing the after effects of the Ambien I took because I took a red eye last night. And that's legit.
Pills.
Maybe he did. I'm sure he did.
Yeah, but you're on a show now.
Right. So you have to...
Pull it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
No excuses.
So then...
I have a tramp stamp that says that.
And it's accurate. So then, as he's explaining why he seems a little out of it, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a pack of cigarettes and just lights up. He just starts smoking a cigarette. And Colbert, very quick to act, he reaches underneath and gets an ashtray and puts it on his desk. And he said, they told me you might do this, so I'm ready. You know,
good for Colbert.
But here's the question. Whose job would it have been to confront Sean Penn and say, Sean, we know that you enjoy your smokes. We get it. But for the purpose of the interview, you're not going to be on long. You're only going to be on for 13 minutes. Let's try to not smoke during the interview.
No one tells him that. Do you remember there was some roast that went on? And I'm pretty sure there's no smoking inside buildings anymore. Isn't that true?
For the most part, yeah.
I guess the roasts, do they frequently happen in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
All right, because maybe that has something to do with
Central
it.
Ones,
yeah. Because Pete Davidson...
From Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, he was just totally smoking. It might have even been a joint during one of the roasts.
Really?
And I remember thinking, how can you be smoking inside? No one's going to tell Sean Penn to put out a cigarette. You will have two black eyes.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking because it's Sean Penn, that aggravates the situation. If it's just, let's say it's just somebody, it's the author of a book that you might have heard.
They wouldn't do that.
I might have known who that guy. Right, but Sean Penn comes out, so no one's brave enough to go, hey, Sean Penn, put the Tarentons away. We got business to attend to.
They could fine him. I would not make a big deal, but then
who would do that?
I would. I just quit smoking. If I'm smelling smoke,
right.
I would be mad, so...
Right.
I would fine the studio, Colbert, and Sean Penn.
CBS gets a fine. Colbert gets a fine. I kept thinking, if I'm Stephen Colbert, I say to him...
You don't.
Sean.
You wouldn't say that.
Well...
Who did you have in the studio that smoked?
Michael Madsen.
Did you say anything?
I did. And it did not go well with him.
Would you ever say anything again to him?
That's a good question.
Who was he in with?
David Carradine.
Okay, that is like... did you have a nightmare and wake up in it?
It was the two scariest guys. I mean, I don't know if people are aware of Michael Madsen much. I hope you are. He's a great actor.
He is a good actor.
He's a really good actor. And David Carradine, you and I have had on before. He's no longer with us, but he was interesting.
Good.
In italics.
Good adjective.
But together, they were just as dangerous and scary as could be. And he did. We were in a studio at another station, and... you know, the rule in a radio studio is you do not smoke. There's no exceptions to the rule. And he pulls out some Salems, and he does that tapping thing that people do before they smoke, where they tap the cigarettes for, I don't know why, I guess to get one out of the package, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But you could reach in and get one, but he tapped it. And I go, oh, there's no smoking in here. And he just acknowledged the fact that I said it. I've been warned. And then he just smoked.
See, that's so rude.
I know. But that wasn't in the top 20 weirdest parts of that day. So I go, well, all right, he's going to smoke. I can't throw down with Michael Madsen. It'd be the end of me.
Were they promoting Mr. Blonde and Kung Fu?
They were promoting lung cancer. I think they
both were talking about lung.
No, David Carradine had ingested something prior to the interview, and I'm not smart enough to know.
I missed that.
I don't know what. But he was working on another level also. But it was just strange. You know, in the old days of the talk shows, like if you watch a Tonight Show from the 60s, Johnny's smoking, yeah. The guests are smoking, they got kids on, kids are smoking, everyone's smoking. But that was in the 60s. Like now when you're watching a late night talk show, you don't expect to see that kind of cloud of smoke around the host and around the guests. But Sean Penn was providing that.
Yeah, but Sean Penn... you know, has an issue with having to be the most important person in the room. He's always been like that.
Yeah.
It's all because of Bad Boys that he was in.
That turned him.
It did.
Right.
That was such a good movie.
Jeff Spicoli, you could say to him, Spicoli, there's no smoking in the studio.
Whoa.
Right.
Really?
Right.
Got a light?
But Sean Penn almost likes that. What are you going to say something
right.
to me? Right? You're going to do that to me? I don't think so.
Do you know who I am?
Right.
Do you know who I was married to?
Right.
Madonna. Who else? Robin Wright?
Yeah.
They're not still married.
No. But it was fun to watch, and I hats off to Stephen Colbert because I guess he handled it right. I thought he was going to challenge him and go, oh, there's no smoking during the show. That didn't happen. He presented.
That's not funny though. The funny is getting the ashtray out.
I guess. Yeah. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN.
The Ryan's 24 from 95th. A bit slow on 57, 115th, but Bishop Ford looks good.
I think she just called me something.
That's no way for a Walk
of Famer. To treat
a
lady.
It's no way to treat a lady, certainly, but it's no way for a Walk of Famer to talk.
She's getting a hug right now, congratulatory hug, for being in the WGN Walk of Fame this year's class, which is very small.
Yeah, only, were there six people in this year's,
I think there's only five.
Five?
Do we have the list? Because for people who weren't listening to the Steve Cochran show this morning might have missed it.
Pierre-André.
Yeah.
From Little Orphan Annie.
Who Orion is the only one that's worked with him.
Right. He was from a ways ago. He was from a while ago. But I don't remember what his part was on Little Orphan Annie, but I know he did that and other things, too. Not that that couldn't have gotten him in on its own, but there's Little Orphan Annie. Well, not Little Orphan Annie. She should already be in the Walk of Fame. She's not, and that's why I'm boycotting.
Yeah, because she didn't have parents. You got to give her some pleasure
right,
in her life.
Something. It's a hard knock life, Wendy.
It is.
It is.
Oh, man, I can't find the list. Here we go. All right, so.
David Kaplan. It's ridiculous.
That I'm not already in it.
Right. He's in it to win it. So David Kaplan is in it. Mary.
Chuck Swirsky. I heard him on the air today.
Great sportscaster.
And Roger.
Yeah, who is that?
Roger Treemstra was.
Roger Treemstra,
the
right.
Weather guy.
You know, I was just talking. I was cleaning my office, and I found a phone directory for WGN Radio from 1992, which was. I've spent so much time going through it, different names. You know, like Tom Brenneman was here then.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
And Treemstra. And I'm so glad. I
can't
wait to
weather?
See. Roger, of course.
Yeah, he was great.
Roger was hilarious.
No.
Was
so good. Long time on Channel 9. He was Skilling's number two guy.
And everybody says one of the nicest guys in the world. I never was lucky enough to meet him, but everybody says.
He never was a very nice guy.
He was not a nice guy.
Recall,
I'm shocked to hear that. I thought he was.
He was like a prankster.
He was a total
Bill
prankster.
Bill would have gotten along
totally
really well. Prankster.
I know.
I can't wait to see him and Jerry.
Our generation's Roger Treemster, Wendy. I pride myself on that.
Yeah, but you don't bring goodies in. He always brought goodies. Oh.
I can't believe he hasn't been around, too, because Treemster was one of the biggest White Sox fans I knew.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Interesting. And did we leave somebody out?
Mary Vanderbilt.
And Mary, of course.
No, I think that's,
of course.
Small class.
Of course. Who is, Mary, you know, when somebody's brought into the Baseball Hall of Fame, they select a player or a coach or a manager that means a lot to them to bring them up. Who have you chosen? Have you chosen somebody in the
broadcast? To introduce you?
Oh, what? We don't do that.
You don't do that here?
Do we?
No, but if you were.
Yeah, who would you choose?
Well,
somebody that's meant a lot to you in your career.
Here at GN?
Yeah.
We're talking mentors now?
There's quite a few people.
Yeah?
There's quite a few. You know, but, well, Todd was instrumental in, you know, keeping me here so many years, I think.
So many different times.
So many different switchovers. So I'll have to say Todd for sure.
And yeah.
Tom Peterson was, the old news guy Tom Peterson was my news director at the time that I was brought in. And he was awesome. He was always there for me. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always had a sense of humor about traffic and everything else. And, you know, one time I got run off the road on my way into work. Some idiot, you know, sideswiped me or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I went into a ditch and I knew I was going to be late. And I don't think I take pride in myself
sure.
never being late. And that was one time I was late, and I called Tom Peters. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm in a ditch. This idiot. And I'm going, and I was just sobbing. And it was, you know, a big, Tom's like, Mary, just can you get out of the ditch?
Oh.
I think so.
That sounds like Tom. Okay.
I might have slapped you had he been there. Calm down.
I think I can get out of the ditch. Well, get out of the ditch and just drive into work.
Oh.
Okay.
Very practical, man.
See you soon.
I think Tom was one of the guys who came up with alternative names for the Bishop Ford, too.
Is that right? Yeah.
That was him way back then.
Yes. And Tom was always changing it up with, you know, traffic and format and all that stuff. But
excellent.
Tom was my right-hand man. Always stuck up for
me. And what is the day that they're doing this, Mary? Do you know the day?
May 18th. It's
May
18th, a Friday.
Coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Well, congratulations. We're all very happy for you and proud of you.
And thanks, Bill, for making a fool of me today.
Of course.
He did not do that. It's just an alternate name for the Bishop Ford.
Ryan's 24 from 95th. A bit slow on 57, 115.
I really hope that's not the last time I hear that.
I should have called it the Calumet. I would have been fine.
In the past, Mary, you said very derogatory, nasty things about Bishop Ford, but I don't know what the backstory is, but boy, you don't seem to like him.
I don't have a problem with the Bishop.
Yeah. All right.
Today's a big day for Apple fans. It's so weird, too. Jim and I were laying in bed last night because he is now back in my bed, our bed. After I had my knee surgery.
You don't need to elaborate.
Well,
whatever
Steve Bertrand
happened.
Was worried about it. When I had my knee replaced, we only have a queen-size bed, and I didn't want him to kick it.
Yeah.
With Byron Allen.
With Byron Allen. So you put him out in the street?
Well, he slept on the couch for a while, and then our dog was super sick, and when Jim was going to come back to bed, I said, who's going to stay downstairs with Tiki? And he goes, I guess I am.
That fell on him.
So he's back in the bed, and I realized why I got used to not having him. He was laying there with his laptop reading comic books, because that's how you read graphic novels now, online.
Sure.
Sorry, but that takes away all the fun.
Yeah.
There are comic books as well, but now they're, you know, like an not Audible, but you know what I mean, like books, comic books on the computer.
Yeah.
He's got this big old laptop, and he had to update his Windows. And I said, you really need, you know, something better to watch these on or read these on. And he said, yeah, I'm thinking about an iPad. And his birthday is Wednesday. And iPads, some big announcements here from Chicago.
Yeah.
There's a new iPad, and it's a little cheaper. So should we take a break and talk
find
about
out
it
more. Yeah,
on this Tech Tuesday?
Yeah, that's coming up next. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That music means it is a Tech Tuesday, and there's some, you know, it seems like Apple always hogs the news on a Tech Tuesday, but this might be some pretty interesting news because Apple is in Chicago. On the line with us in for Bridget Carey today is Rochelle Garner. Hi, Rochelle.
Hey there. How's it going?
Well, we're kind of excited because Apple has chosen Chicago for an unveiling today. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure, it has to do with education, and in fact, it's going on as we are speaking. And I'm actually even watching the news scroll in from our reporters that they're on the ground. So far, they've announced the new iPad. Now, the pricing is the same at $329 for you and me, but $299 for students. But it, for the first time, supports a stylus, which is basically a fancy schmancy pencil,
right.
And apps that are really geared for the education, not only for students, but also for teachers. So they're coming out with ways to, augmented reality is one of the things they can do. That's where you hold up your iPad and you see a whole new world that's only visible through your iPad. If you take the iPad down, it's not there. But it's a way to, remember dissecting frogs? Now you can do it with your iPad. No frogs get hurt in the process.
What exactly, spoiler alert for those of you who don't know, and I'm one of them, what are you seeing when you say you're seeing a whole new world? What's in that whole new world?
So a whole new world with augmented reality can really be anything. One of the great examples of that, for example, was, remember Pokemon Go? Where
yeah.
People would be basically getting monsters? That's an example of augmented reality that everybody can kind of visualize. In this case, with schools, now, for example, maybe you want to build a dam and see how the water is affecting the area on around the river. So it's a way to do it that way. You can dissect a frog, as I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way to actually sort of, maybe you want to hold up the phone, the iPad, and now you're seeing great masters hanging on your home's walls.
Mm.
And you can actually see more about who painted that painting. What was the context of that painting? That's the kind of thing we're talking about.
Why did they choose Lane Tech here in Chicago?
You know, there's a long history of Apple coming to Chicago for education. And apparently Lane Tech has been one of the big users of Apple products. As you may or may not know, Apple used to be very, very big in education. And really, Google has kicked its butt for the past few years. Their Chromebook, which is a really inexpensive laptop that uses their Chrome operating system, has really now grabbed 60% of the whole education market. This is their attempt to say, oh, we're in it again, and
except,
we're trying to compete against Chromebooks.
Excuse me for interrupting you, Rochelle, but the Chromebooks are pretty inexpensive. My kids use those in elementary school, junior high, in high school, nothing. But, you know, the Apple iPad that's coming out right now, $299 for students, $329 for everybody else, that's only a savings of $30. I mean, really, if they want to introduce more Apple products in schools, perhaps they should charge less for students.
The thing is, it's not really the students who are buying these are the schools.
Yeah.
So that's something that
schools could really use the money for other things. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like a $30 saving per iPad is really not that
Wendy
much.
Wendy wants more, Rochelle.
I do.
Make
I'm
a call.
Sorry.
She only wants to pay $10 for it. Make it happen.
You know, you're absolutely right. It's that's exactly why Apple has lost to Google.
Yeah.
Because of the prices and because it's so much easier for students and teachers to use curriculum, applications. Everything is really low cost or even free. I know Google even gives away a lot of this equipment to places that are in need. Apple hasn't done that. So your points are absolutely spot on.
So they're announcing this today, Rochelle. Is it available immediately, or do they have to wait a couple months before the new version is out?
Let's see now. I believe it's going to be available in a few weeks.
Oh, okay.
I would have to scroll down to actually see when some of this is available. The apps that they're updating for use in the schools, those are going to be updated pretty much immediately. And the stylus. Oh, by the way, it's a 9.7-inch iPad, so it's a pretty substantial size.
Mm-hmm.
So these things are starting to be rolled out now or within the next few weeks, and you're absolutely right. It should be cheaper. They're trying to say to schools, love us, remember us, and that's about it.
Because Apple was the first computer to be in classrooms, it seems. Like a lot of schools had a desktop version that they would use with the students. And then all of a sudden, students started getting their own laptops to bring home. You'd have to sign them out. But those Chromebooks are so unbelievably inexpensive and perfect for, you know, what kids need them for.
You're right. Well, Apple really showed just how important it is to go after the education market. But you know what? This is a case where typically in the past, Apple has been the second one to come in and sort of overtake a market. In this case, it happened to them with Google and Chromebooks.
Bill, you're a big fan of Legos.
Love them.
And Elon Musk has some kind of Lego-like building kits. Tell us about that.
So among Elon Musk's many ventures is the Boring Company. The Boring Company is doing just what it says.
Oh, not that boring.
Not that boring.
It's tunneling. It's and right now it's tunneling under Los Angeles. Among the things that Elon Musk is interested in is something called the Hyperloop, which would be a sort of high-speed transportation pod that would go, say, the idea is to go from, say, San Francisco to Los Angeles in 35 minutes. That's how fast these things can go. But you need a place to have them run. They have to be level. So either you put them high up on pylons or, you bore underground. Mm. Trouble is, when you bore underground or when you mine, there's a lot of rock. There's a lot of rock you have to somehow get rid of. Well, there's a great plan then. They're going to sell rock kits that are hollowed out, polished, somehow interlocking. Hasn't said how much these things are going to cost. That you can then use for, and I'm quoting, sculptures and buildings. One of the first ones out will have to do with Egypt history. You too can build your own Sphinx or pyramid.
I would love that in your yard. I would love that. Yeah.
All right.
I would too. I'm a big fan of ancient Egyptian history, and I'm ready to have a Sphinx, basically. I can't wait.
One more. You know, there was a horrible crash. Uber's trying these self-driving cars, and we had a fatality a little over a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So now the governor of Arizona apparently is banning these self-driving cars in his state. Is that a good idea, Rochelle, or not a good idea?
I personally think it's a good idea.
Is it?
I personally think that maybe the public roads is not the best place to be testing these things. They need to be tested. There's no question. I think self-driving cars are absolutely in our future. I live in the basically the heartland of Silicon Valley, so I have seen Google self-driving cars wandering around the streets for years. They all look like they have blenders on top of them. They're very interesting. But they also have somebody who's paying attention to the road around them as it's driving. But frankly, I would rather see these things get testing on closed circuit areas where nobody's in danger of any potential crashes.
But
because this is still a technology work in progress.
But at some point, they're going to have to test them on regular roadways in busier cities, right? That's inevitable.
Well, and they're doing that now. They're taking sort of a moratorium on that one, and you're absolutely right. It is inevitable.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things that are still unknown about what happened with this last crash. One of the makers of the LIDAR is the system that actually sees, says that it should have worked. But there's a lot of interconnected pieces. There's software that tells it when to brake. There's artificial intelligence that also makes decisions. Something somewhere didn't quite connect. And there's a lot of companies that are involved. Right now, just every single major automaker in the world has announced plans for self-driving cars. It is inevitable. Maybe with luck, they'll also share some of their life-saving knowledge and insight that they pick up as they do this testing.
But won't there always be there will be a variable of unpredictability? This woman that kind of walked out in front of the car, that's one of those things you almost couldn't predict. I know there should have been some computer that did, but it was just so fast that they said that if there was a regular driver in the car, the same result would have happened, right?
You know, the Tempe police originally said that. Now they've sort of backed off that statement.
Oh.
Now they're not so sure. They're not willing to give any blame. There is always an element of unpredictability. Just think about this for a second, though. As we really start to get further along and everybody is in some kind of like autonomous vehicle, who makes there's ethical decisions to be made? The cars, something is happening, and you have to decide, or the car has to decide, whose life is more valuable.
Right.
Is it somebody on the street? Is it the person inside the car? There are decisions made.
That's why
no
I always,
memory or instinct here.
Rochelle, I always tip my self-driving car when I get in. I go, here's an extra 50 for you. Just do whatever you want to do. Make sure I get there alive.
So you've been riding in self-driving cars?
Oh, yeah, for years. Absolutely.
In his dreams.
Yeah, for years. Well, Rochelle, thanks for filling in today. We really appreciate it. Hope everything goes well for you.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks so much.
It's Rochelle Carner from CNET. We'll take a quick break. We've got some news for you and then a lot more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thanks, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. You teased something that sounds very intriguing to me.
Yeah, they did a survey about who's cheating with who, or whom, if you're highly educated, who is having an affair with who, or
who's zooming who?
Who's zooming who, Wendy? That's the right way to word it. All right. So the name of the company that put this together is Super Drug Online Doctor.
What?
I'm not positive why they need this information. But they're the ones who sought it out and compiled it, so I'll give them credit. Superdrug Online Doctor did these surveys where they wanted to see exactly who was having affairs and with who. All right, first I'll give you a couple of numbers. These are percentages, and then I'll tell you exactly who most people, both men and women, are cheating with. Yes, Steve?
Are these 847 numbers or 708?
Some of them are 847.
Okay.
1708, and the rest are 312. Okay, so... The percentage of marriages where one or both spouses admit to infidelity, either physically or emotionally. Now, that's interesting that they mention both kinds, because I guess, you know, when you think about a cheating husband or wife, you think, well, that's a physical affair, but they're counting in emotional as well. I don't know what the parameters of that would be, though. Do you?
Yeah. I mean, if you're spending more time with your work husband than you are with your real husband, and you're going shopping and out to eat and seeing them on Saturdays and Sundays, that's emotionally cheating, wouldn't you say?
No. I would put it more under the bracket of...
Get Bill's wife on the line.
I would put it more under the bracket of if you have any problems or concerns that you would turn to somebody else... to discuss those with them who's not your husband or wife.
I think both, because I'm serious.
Both?
What if you said, hey, Terry, let's go out to lunch this, you know, this Saturday. I want to treat you to... No, I'm already going with my work husband.
Interesting.
First of all, if she said work husband, that would be a red flag.
I would say, did you just say work husband? What? Yeah, I wouldn't
understand. But yeah, confiding in, but I'm sure if you spend a lot of time with that person, you're confiding in them.
All right. So both. Whatever your definition is of emotional cheating or physical cheating.
I know the physical. I know what that entails.
Physical is easy to figure out. So the percentage of marriages
where
that's...
You got your peanut butter in my chocolate.
Where that's taking place is 41% currently. Four out of every 10 couples, somebody's cheating.
Well, don't they say the divorce rate is over 50% now?
Yeah, it is.
That's sad to me.
Right.
I waited so long
high.
To get married.
Yeah.
I was 35, 34.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it took me a long time to find the right person. You
don't
give up. Well, you don't give up easily, too. If things are bad, you fix it.
Right. Till death do us part.
Well,
it's in the Bible. The percentage of men who admit to committing infidelity in any relationship that they've had. So these are guys who, throughout their career...
Of cheating? Their cheating career?
Well... Throughout their career of being with somebody,
okay.
Married to somebody, 57% say that they have cheated on the woman in their relationship or the guy in their relationship.
That makes me sick.
Percentage of women who admit to committing infidelity in any relationship they've had, very close, 54%, just a 3% difference.
It's still sick.
It's still a lot, right? Percentage of married men who have strayed at least once during their married lives.
98%.
22%.
Really?
Kind of low. Percentage of women under those same under that same category. They've had one dalliance, one affair.
Good word.
Thank you. 14%.
Dilly dalliance.
Right. Right. Percentage of men and women who admit to having an affair with a coworker, 36%.
I did, but then I married him. It wasn't even an affair because we weren't seeing other people.
It doesn't count as an affair. Right.
We were friends, actually,
right.
First.
Right, right. Percentage of men and women who admit to infidelity on business trips, that's 35%. That's
I'm
over
surprised that's not higher, to be honest with you.
One in three. Yeah, because what's that silly rule about it doesn't count if it's in another state or something?
Who told you that?
I saw it in a movie once. I'm like, wait, what? Who made up that rule? If you're in another state, it doesn't count. No, I think it does. I'm pretty sure it does.
What, did they say that in Bridesmaids or something?
No, I'm trying to remember what movie it was. Some movie. It wasn't Bridesmaids. percentage of men and women who admit to infidelity with a brother-in-law or sister-in-law.
That is inexcusable, people.
That's where Wendy draws the line.
I'm serious,
co-worker,
man.
Fine.
Well, you're
grocer,
you
orthodontist,
their...
but not your brother-in-law and sister-in-law.
A grocer?
Yeah.
I was hot for Sam the Butcher, if you want to know the truth.
How could you not be? That's 17%. That's all these numbers are high, but that seems kind of high, right?
It does seem too high.
Too high. Average length of an affair. Take a guess on this one. What is the average length of an affair right now?
Under a year, like 8 to 10 months.
Yeah. 2 years.
Really?
That's what it says here, that's the average length of an affair. Percentage of marriages that last after an affair has been admitted to or discovered. So it comes out, you and somebody else have been sleeping around with each other. Will that marriage survive? What is the percentage?
42%.
31%. Mm. Pretty close.
I don't know. That's pretty hard when you get that big news. I would have a difficult time trusting that person ever again. Ever again.
Yeah. Because you say if you do it once, you're prone to do it more than once. You would think. I mean.
However, and I'm not judging anybody. If someone's listening and their spouse cheated on them and you've worked it out, it totally can happen. Sometimes you don't realize how important something is till you're on the verge of losing it.
I was working at another station once, and I can't remember what the news story was, but we were doing this news story about an affair, and all these people called up. And I said, and I didn't expect anyone to call. I go, call up if you had an affair. I have a couple of questions. I didn't expect anyone to call up, and everybody called up. So this one lady said that both she and her husband had affairs at the same time. They'd been married for 15 years. And she was having an affair, and then she found out that her husband was out. And I go, and how quickly thereafter did that marriage dissolve? She goes, oh, we're still together, better than ever. And I go, how did that happen? She goes, we both needed it. It both happened in a time in our lives where we needed it, and it made us stronger. And I said, wow, I didn't think that would happen.
Okay. First of all, I don't know if they needed it, but obviously right. They were both searching for something that the two of them could not achieve together. So
right.
Perhaps they figured it out.
Right, maybe.
And that brought them together. And
maybe.
One couldn't be mad at the other because the other was just as guilty.
Right, right.
So if you're going to have an affair, make sure your spouse is having one at the same time, and then maybe you can work through it.
So you want to coordinate your affairs, right? Get your affairs in order. You ever hear that phrase? That's what that means.
That's what it means.
That's what it means, yeah. Get your affairs in order means.
Never knew that.
Make sure everyone in your family is having an affair, not just you. I'm still pushing for Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, by the way. I'm still hoping that works out. Isn't that crazy?
I don't like them together.
I hope Batman and his wife find each other. I hope they're happy together.
Wait, they're
That's
not together?
Hope. No.
Mm-mm. I want her to get back with Brad Pitt.
I don't think she was ever with Brad Pitt.
Jennifer Aniston?
Jennifer Garner.
Oh, Garner. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, you got to know your Jennifer.
I think you said Aniston.
No, Jennifer Garner and Batman
check
are married.
Check the tape. I think you said Aniston.
Every time I check a tape, Mary Vanderbilt is swearing. I don't want to do that again. All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then I'm going to tell you, if your wife or your husband is having an affair, I will tell you who they're most likely to have an affair with. These numbers
Keira
are...
Keira Knightley, if it's a guy.
Right? No, not specifically,
oh.
But how you know them. Like, what is the relationship?
Oh,
to uh-huh.
Really?
Yeah. All right. That's coming up next. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Fun fact, that's Wendy's real voice.
That hurts.
I wish you'd use that voice all the time. I think
can't.
That's your best voice. All right. So there's this survey that came out about infidelity. Who's sleeping around? It was done by Super Drug Online Doctor. I'm not positive why they needed these results, but they did. So... Who is your spouse most likely going to cheat with? What would your guess be? You find out, I don't want to make it so personal. Let's say you're somebody else. Let's say you're the person whose voice you were just doing in that commercial. And you're married to somebody, and they're sleeping with somebody. Who is it, probably, do you think?
A neighbor.
A neighbor? Let me see if that made the list.
Boy, this is like the Infidelity Family Feud.
Yes, it is. It doesn't directly say neighbor,
well,
but I'll tell you that, yeah. All right.
A mutual friend.
Yeah. That's the way to answer it. All right. So for women, 40.6% of women having an affair say that it is with a friend. Quote unquote.
Is this a mutual friend of both people?
It doesn't say mutual or non-mutual. It just says a friend. So I would think that the husband at that point would no longer consider that person a friend, right? I think that designation is soured by the idea
former friend.
Men.
A stranger.
Yeah. Well, 32% say this. 32.9% say the same thing. A friend. That's who they're having an affair with. The friend.
Yeah, but I think a guy lies about a friend as opposed to the woman who, because women need like an emotional connection before they jump in the sack.
Right. I agree with that. I think that's true.
I had never said that term in my life.
Jump in the sack.
I have never said that. I'll never say it again. It's just weird. I feel dirty.
Women also say that 33.3%, exactly one-third, if they're having an affair, it's with somebody that they work with. Whereas men, now I thought this would have been higher for men than women, 28.6% say the affair is with somebody they're working with.
Because somebody's going to find out. If you're with someone you work with, someone's going to find out.
But you run that risk. And I think all these categories, don't you kind of, to some extent, you always run the risk that somebody's going to find out.
Yeah, but again, it's like women, I can't speak for all women, because there are women that want a one-night stand.
Yeah.
But somebody who wants a relationship,
right?
They want to build a little foundation first, it seems.
Right.
Men, like, maybe have an encounter and then go, oh, that was pretty fun, let's hang out again.
Yeah.
I think a woman wants to build that up first.
It's more immediate for a guy.
Yeah.
For a woman, more prolonged, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right.
But what do I know?
No, you...
I'm no Dr. Ruth Reistimer.
No, but I think you're right. I think you're right on that. All right. Women also say that the person that they are having the affair with or have had an affair with is just somebody they... And I use their term here. They met out and about. So they're at a bar.
Or a Marshall's.
At the Marshall's, probably at a Marshall's.
Can I just say, if a guy
Why
is trying...
Why did you choose Marshall's?
Because if a guy is trying, like, say you're single or, you know, in any way, via divorce or widowed.
Right.
I'm telling you, go hang out at a Marshall's or TJ Maxx.
That's the place you'd go?
Yeah, I got so many tips from the book I'm going to write, because I love going to those places.
Yeah.
And unless I have a full hour to spend at... And where I live, they're right next to each other. So I need 2 hours to go look.
One for each.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if I saw a guy who was like, you know, in the men's department going, do you like these pants? What a great way to start up a conversation. And then I think that's a great way to meet someone.
So in a parallel universe, Jimmy no longer does it for you. You go, I got to find me a new guy.
No, I wouldn't be looking, but I would be looking for clothes at TJ's or Marshall's. And then if a guy came by and looked like he needed help, and depending on what pants he held up, you could tell if he had good taste.
That is very interesting. Would you leave the dressing room door open just a little?
No,
just accidentally?
Because there's a woman there.
I left it open just a little. Oops.
There's an attendant there. That would be weird.
Maybe that's who you want to have the affair with.
Maybe.
You get a discount over at Marshall.
Oh, see, now you're talking.
Men say the out and about factor, 21.8%, that the person they're having an affair with is just somebody they were just out gallivanting, Wendy.
Nice word.
They were out gallivanting, and there was a woman gallivanter, and they said, let's gallivant together.
All right, dalliance and gallivanting.
All in one show.
How old are you?
All in one show. I'll be 78 in April.
So, like, if you're just in line at a Starbucks and there's a hot woman in front of you that...
with her name spelled incorrectly on the cup.
You know, they have never messed up my name. I don't know why that's such a running joke all the time.
I don't know. I have no idea. Here's a number I'm shocked is so low. This is the first time... Well, let me do this one first. The last one I said out and about, I thought that that would include the bar scene, but it doesn't. That has its own category. 12.4% of women say the man that they are having an affair with or have had an affair is someone they met in a bar. I would have thrown that in the out and about category, but it's its own category.
Specifically.
Men say 19.5% somebody they met in a bar.
Boy, the old days, that's all you could go to
that
meet
was
someone.
It. Not anymore.
That or a comedy club.
Yes. Yes. Social media. This is the one that surprises me that it's so low. I thought this one would have been a lot higher. 7.1% of women, 7.3% of men. The person they're having an affair with, they met online.
I would have expected that to be 90%.
Much higher, right? I'm shocked it's so low.
But if you're getting a profile together and getting an online thing going, then you're seriously looking for an affair. The other places, you're just out and about gallivanting.
Right.
and not looking for a dalliance,
right?
But it just happens.
Yeah, maybe you're a runner and you're out running on a trail, and there's a woman also running on a trail.
Fell and hurt her ankle.
Yeah,
and then you pick her up and carry her.
You run the rest of the way. And she falls in love with you. That happens all the time.
I'd fall in love with somebody that always did that happens. To me.
What about this one? 4% of women, 4.7% of women, and 14.9% of men say the person they're having an affair with, they met on a dating app or on a dating website.
Still low.
But is that... Oh, I guess that is still an affair. So that's a person who's married... But still going to these dating apps, even though he or she is married, they're giving off the impression.
What was the name of that thing that everybody?
Ashley
Madison.
Ashley Madison.
Dolly Madison was the one you were on. It was the wrong one.
Dolly Madison was for the people who like to eat sweets and have an affair and eat pie. It's more expensive, but so worth it, Wendy. So worth it. 4.2% of women and 6.9% of men say the person they're having an affair with is somebody they met on a business trip or on a vacation.
Well, yeah, because then you don't tell anyone. You know, it's
right.
Although the affair continues, huh?
I guess so. Yeah.
Did you have an affair with Little Debbie? Little Debbie?
Not for air. So not for air. I won't talk about your snap, crackle, and pop move, and you don't talk about Little Debbie. Only 0.7% of women say they met the person they're having an affair with at school.
And oh, that's 0.3%
of men said the same thing.
Really?
And now this is back to your Ashley Madison one from earlier. 0.2% of women and 3% of men said they're having an affair with somebody they met on a website specifically designed for cheating. That's your Ashley Madison.
All right.
Right?
I'm not having an affair.
No. Who has time?
Who does have
Who
time?
Has time?
I'm not even kidding.
Right. All right. We'll take a quick break. We've got news next, and then there's more show. Stay here, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Kim. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I have a bunch of high school friends that I am still friends with.
Yeah.
A couple of them I've known since sixth grade. There's a group of us.
Isn't that nice when a friendship lasts that long? That's excellent.
It really is. We really have something special.
Uh-huh.
And three of my friends' dads all died within 3 to 4 days of each other.
Wow.
So
that's awful.
We are doing a lot of wakes and funerals. I will be off the remainder of this week. I have a funeral to attend on Thursday. I went to one on Saturday. Memorial service for the third father will be coming up in a few weeks.
Mm.
And I noticed I had never been, two new things happened to me. I had never been to a funeral where there was a military send-off at the end.
Yeah.
My girlfriend Gail's father was a World War II veteran, and there was no casket because he was cremated. So there was an urn mm-hmm. at the top of the at the altar, Catholic mm-hmm. church. And I have never been to a mass where there's been an urn there. It's usually a casket.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting.
Have you?
Yeah, a couple of them, a few.
Because I thought you'd display them at the wake in a casket. And then you
incinerate them later, right?
Yeah, and then for the mass, you usually have a funeral. I mean, a casket there.
I think, to my knowledge, it can be done either way.
Well, it didn't affect it. It just I had never seen it before, and then I started thinking, if you do go picking out a casket is a very surreal thing. When my mom died, my brother, sister, and I were looking at them, and it's like you don't want to go the cheapest route because then your mom will haunt you.
Yeah.
Then you don't want to go the most expensive route because your mom will haunt you.
Yeah.
So you go somewhere in the middle.
Right.
But they're so expensive.
Yes, they are.
So I'm thinking with the cremation, you buy a casket and you do the wake and then you do the funeral and then do they cremate the casket as well? Is it a rent-a-casket?
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh.
I might have a new business opportunity.
Are you just going to rent out caskets to people?
I don't know.
Only need them for a short span
right.
of time?
Right, because why would you, you know, if you're not burying them in a casket? I just didn't know, and I know we probably have a lot of funeral home people who listen to us. Maybe they could help, because I don't think you can reuse a casket. It's not like a crock pot liner
no,
that you can just change out.
Like they have nothing in common. Oh, I don't know the answer to that. Yeah, somebody please help out, because I don't know.
And then the military end of it, there was the urn at the back of the church, and these two very young service members just respectfully took this triangular-shaped flag, which I've seen it happen in movies but never up close and personal, and they unfold it, and they shake it, and now this is this unfurled flag, and then they go through the meticulous way of folding it up again into a triangle, and they handed it to Gail's mom,
yeah.
And it was just, it was touching,
nice.
It was respectful.
Sure.
And then on Thursday, I have a funeral that I'm going to at a military cemetery past Joliet in like Elmwood or Elburn,
uh-huh.
And that's going to be a full-blown military funeral, which I've never attended, and that's with the guns, and so I hate to say I'm looking forward to my girlfriend Sue's dad's funeral, but
yeah.
Just the respect they show for these veterans,
sure.
Is definitely needed and warranted, but it is so cool to witness.
Yeah, right.
We're not a military family, really.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool.
So only one of the three, like two are burials and one is ashes, right?
I don't know what the third is.
You're
right,
not sure?
Now, because we haven't, it's a memorial service, oh. So I don't know if he's been buried yet. It's just, you know, weird being high school friends and junior high friends and going through these things together. We've all been through each other's weddings and babies and new dogs, and now... It's really weird. Yeah. And I do have to tell you, at the back of the church, after they had folded up the flag, we were saying goodbye to my girlfriend, Gail, and we were hugging her. Her son, Matt, had his grandfather's ashes in his hands, holding them real tightly, making sure not to drop them. And Gail tripped on the rug.
Oh, she did?
And
yeah.
Her son could not grab her, because if he did, he would have dropped Grandpa's ashes.
Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
That's what it was, the weirdest moment. And then I was like, none of us could help. And then I thought, oh, I should be videotaping this, because this would be something to send to America's Funniest Videos if it happened.
If they do a funeral edition of that.
But Gail caught herself and no problem.
Wendy, I might be able to answer. So when my father passed away 2 years ago, we had the same thing. Well, he was cremated.
Yeah.
And what we did was we had the wake, and his body was there at the wake. And for the funeral, his body was there as well. So when the when you come in and you start the funeral,
right,
they took the casket away. And that little insert inside the little casket, they burned that with the cremation. So I guess
so it's a reusable casket?
Yeah, kind of.
How about it?
Yeah. It's kind of weird, but...
So it is like a crock pot liner, no disrespect to anyone.
Yeah, I didn't want it to make it sound like that, but that's what it is, basically.
Why is that also burned? What's the significance of having that included?
Well, it surrounded the body.
It surrounded the body, yeah.
I would just want the body, I think. If
what?
I'm given the choice, I don't want a lot. It's the liner that's burned with you?
Bill!
What?
They don't have to burn it with you, but they're not going to leave it in the casket for the next body.
No, but
yeah,
they could throw it away, though. Right?
Are you going to have a little steering wheel on your casket?
I've looked into that. Thought about it.
He'll be propped up with a baseball
and at the very end,
on.
A whistle will blow and I'll drive around the room in it. It's going to be a crowd pleaser.
Oh my God,
you'll see.
Will Bozo be there?
We don't know yet. He's been invited. We don't know if he's coming.
My God, the image I have is hysterical. No one will be crying.
I don't want any... Right, that's
I'll be laughing.
That's my goal. Leave them laughing.
Beep, beep.
Like, right.
Here comes Bill.
Right. It's the self-driving casket. I'm
all
working
right.
on it with Google.
Oh, well, that's good to know that they... I just would hate the family to buy...
But I'm sure they still charge you quite a bit, even though it's a rental.
Yeah, they charge you.
It's like, is it by the hour or by the day? How do they do it?
I got to look at the papers now, Bill. I've never thought about that.
It's like an Alamo. If you're just past the day, they charge you for the second day.
All right, but caskets are like anywhere from $5,000 to $50,000.
Oh, and more.
They're
some
not
are
that
more
much.
Than that.
They're not $50,000. A casket?
Yeah, some celebrity died.
Okay, that's a celebrity.
Oh, all right. So,
Willie the Wimp?
No, I know that
Cadillac
one.
And the...
No, I want to say it was one of the Gabor sisters. They made a big deal out of the fact that her casket was... Like $600,000 or something.
That's a Gabor sister.
But for the rest of us, you just get a standard casket.
I'll have the Zsa Zsa.
I want a Zsa Zsa.
I'll take an Ava. Ava? Which one was it? Ava Gabor.
Ava Gabor. Wait.
Eva.
Eva Gabor.
Ava.
Ava Gardner.
Huh. You say Eva.
I say Eva. All right, we'll do this. We'll go to your calls.
And we don't mean to be disrespectful.
We
I'm really not
to
trying
be.
To be.
Right, right.
I just have questions.
We have many questions. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy here on WGN, and I have three funerals. One I attended on Saturday, one I have on Thursday, and one is coming in a couple of weeks, a memorial service. I had never been to a service with an urn that was presented at the altar during a Catholic Mass.
Yeah.
I've usually only seen, and even at the wake, there was just the urn there. Not just. It was a beautiful urn with Eddie Spaghetti's picture there. Mr. Jage.
Was Eddie Spaghetti's
yes.
picture there?
And it was done...
Was this a marionette friend of yours
no.
who passed away?
No. That's what we called Gail's dad.
Oh.
And a lovely picture, very handsome, and he had taken the honor flight, so there was the honor flight flag. It was just really
oh,
set
nice.
Up with an urn, and I just wondered... I had never been to a funeral mass with an urn, wondered how they do it with a casket, and... Jazzy, when her father passed away, said it's kind of a rental casket. I don't know. We have a funeral director on who could perhaps answer this question. The things I think about at a funeral, Eric.
Yeah, right.
Bill, Wendy, Eric the Undertaker at your service.
How are you,
Wendy,
Eric?
When you're, good, thanks. And Wendy, when you're 100, I can make you look 35 again.
Oh.
Can you do it now?
Keep Eric on speed dial.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. Getting to the point, what happens with the casket? Do they have to buy this casket? If they're not going to be cremated in it.
Right. Most funeral homes, we all offer what they call alternative containers, which can be anything from a pine box to a cardboard box. But most funeral homes nowadays offer, I don't like to use the term rental casket, but that's essentially what it is.
What's the term you use?
We call it a rental casket, but it just sounds kind of
it's cold.
You know, like you're... Cold.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sure.
So right. this already so, happens.
Anyway, it's a right. It's
I had an entrepreneurial idea that I wanted to.
Right. Well, in a nutshell, how it works is
it's like being in a nutshell, kind of.
Right.
Call it that next time. Call it a nutshell and see what kind of reaction you get.
It's not a nutshell. It's a casket shell.
Right. Right.
What you're renting, but at any rate. It's a specially designed casket that has a removable insert that comes with fresh linens. The insert is made out of cardboard.
Yeah.
It's a very economically sound alternative to buying a casket, which was what they would have to do in the old days. You'd have to buy a casket, and the casket would get cremated along with the body.
Oh, and really?
People figured, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why?
Yeah.
Spend $5,000 right. on a nice casket to burn it up. So
yep.
we have this rental casket, and
right.
it has this removable cardboard insert with linens that match the interior of the casket shell. It has a trap door so that we
a trap door.
Bill's
a
trap door. Interested
in magician Wendy, who's dying?
No.
Yeah.
No?
Well, it's at the foot end. It's designed
right.
a little bit differently than a regular casket.
Oh.
So the trap door at the foot end. Opens and after the body has been embalmed and dressed for a viewing, they get put into this cardboard liner, and when we slide it back in, everything matches. So the only people that know that it's a rental casket are the funeral director and
yep.
the family members,
oh.
and it's a very sound way to do things. So
yep.
after the wake and the viewing, we slide the body out in the cardboard box.
Yeah,
and then the cardboard box gets taken to the crematory, and then you're cremated. So,
well, thank you for clearing that up, Eric. I really was curious. Thank you for answering all those questions.
I like that trap door idea. I'm going to rig it so I'm in there 1 minute. There's a monkey in there. People go, wow, how did that happen? That was amazing. What an amazing feat of magic.
All right, here's the thing. You will be dead, so someone's going to have to be in on it with you. I can help.
Would you help me with that? I would love...
Your family will hate me forever. Thank
Bill
you, Eric.
Bill was in here, and now it's a monkey. Yay!
But it's what he wanted,
it's
honest.
That's all he wanted.
Look at the contract he made me sign. Dan, you have a different way that this went on? Hi, Dan.
Dan is disgusted by what he's hearing.
Dan, he's our man. If he won't talk, no one can.
No one can. Nope. He had been listening, and he went, I'm not going to be a party to this.
Dan?
Hello?
Oh,
hi,
we
Dan.
Found him.
All right, so you have
must have been in the dead spot.
Oh, boy.
Ironically. What do you know about all this, Dan? What do you know?
Well, I think, you know, it's kind of interesting. My dad died in the early 90s, and we were living, he was living in the Chicago area at the time, and he was cremated, and it was a Catholic service, and the priest would not allow the urn to be brought into the church.
Why?
There was just a practice that time, and I think it was in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Yeah, because I'll be honest with you, I've been to a ton of Catholic services throughout my life.
Cremated.
And I don't know if it's the cremation, but I have never seen an urn until Saturday.
Wow.
So anyway, my sister kept the ashes in my mom's house for a while. Then about 10 years later, my mother passed away. And she was living in central Illinois at that time. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got about a minute and a half here, though, so you got to wrap it up.
That was in the Diocese of Peoria. And there was an old country church with an older pastor, and we went to make the arrangements, and it was really bizarre. Not only did he allow my mother's ashes to be brought into church, we brought my dad's in, and the priest allowed us to buy a lot in the church cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a woodworker, so I built the casket. We put both ashes in the casket, went to the church, had a mass, and then buried them both together
in
the church cemetery.
That's beautiful. And one plot.
And we also dug the grave ourselves. So it was, I think it depends upon, now I think things have changed, but I think it depends upon somewhat which diocese you're in and how amicable the priest is to what you want to
right,
do.
Sure.
And that was a different time, too. You said the 90s, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Times have changed a little bit, I know, even in the Catholic faith.
So the only permission you needed to get was from that particular pastor. It didn't have to go higher than that, huh?
That's the way I understood it, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's excellent. That's great.
Well, that's a sweet story, Dan. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thanks,
Dan.
Have a
nice day.
You too.
I think Eddie Spaghetti and his wife, who's alive now, I think they're going to keep his ashes and they'll be buried together, too.
Oh, that's very nice. That's how it should be.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And then Captain Ed, we have his funeral on Thursday.
Wow.
And Larry later on.
Yeah, three in a very short span of time. That's too much.
We're getting old, Bill.
All right, we'll take a quick break.
Then,
you're going to see that at my funeral. Don't act surprised when you see it, because you already know it's coming.
Well, I have to help facilitate it, because with the trap door, oh, man, I'm going to have to get you out of there or just push the monkey in there.
No, there's a button. You just press it. There's a button on the side panel, and then and I go away, and the monkey shows up.
I'll do it. I really will.
And dress us the same. It makes it funnier if we're dressed the same.
A little baseball cap on the monkey.
Yeah.
It's gonna flannel shirt.
Yeah.
Cargo shorts and white gym shoes.
Yeah. The official outfit. All right, we'll take a quick break, then we'll find out what Steve has next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.